Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, you might recall last week we spoke to Orla Worley, who has long COVID and feared the closure of her long COVID clinic at the Mater Hospital due to a lack of funding. The clinic has seen up to 1,000 patients since it opened in May 2020. So why is the clinic at risk of closure and what will it mean for its many patients? Well, I'm joined now by Professor Jack Lambert, infectious diseases specialist with the UCD School of Medicine. Professor Lambert, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hey, good evening.
Obviously a big need for it, but you might bring us back and talk to us about the origins of the long COVID clinic in the Mater. Why did you set it up initially?
Well, we were the original site, you know, for seeing all the patients with COVID in Ireland, because we're the national, you know, isolation unit of Ireland. So we saw the original cases. A lot of our staff got infected. I was able to get an HRB, a research grant, to, you know, early on, because we saw data coming out from China that long COVID was a problem. They're 3 months ahead of us. So we started studying it and treating patients, you know, probably one of the first in the country, dating back to May, you know, 2020. And we've studied this. We've learned how to treat people. And like, as you said, we've been following over 1,000 people over the last couple of years.
And you've been very busy since March 2020 then, or just a little bit after. How many patients, Professor, are you seeing now, a week roughly?
Well, our clinic, it's just a Friday afternoon clinic, we see about 25 to 30, and we're seeing about 20 new patients a month. So we have an ongoing, you know, number of patients referred in and a number of patients from, you know, our local community, and some of our staff actually, and some staff from the local hospitals who've been referred in now, who've been sick for almost 2 years.
And what do they present with?
Well, the thing is that the issue with long COVID is the brain. You know, that the original thinking was they're going to have heart and lung damage. We knew within 6 months, you know, we knew by June 2020 that the heart and the lung heals, but the brain doesn't heal. So they're presenting with, you know, brain fog, concentration problems, headaches, head pressures, you know, sleep disturbances, personality changes, you know, the damage to the cranial nerves coming out of the brain. So lots of, you know, hoarseness, problems swallowing, you know, smell, taste, dizziness, you know, all, you know, nerve pain, pains all over their body, things that are all triggered by brain inflammation. That really is the major common pathway that COVID is causing damage from.
My goodness. And a lot of those symptoms, Jack, seem very nasty indeed. Can they be treated?
Well, they actually can, you know, and that's the situation. For the first year, we just followed patients thinking they'd get better. This is what's happening all over the country, really, is that patients are getting scans after scans after scans after scans. So huge amounts of money are being spent testing of patients with long COVID. And then GPs are being, you know, the first point of call, and they're treating patients to the best of their ability. You get tachycardia, give them a heart block, nerve pain, give them a nerve blocker, you know, sleep problems, give them Valium to make them sleep. But the issue is that, you know, that you can't just kind of continue to, we're 2.5 years into this pandemic, and we started to actually introduce some, you know, treatments in the Mater, and they seem to be helping people and speeding up their recovery.
So you're saying instead of a concoction of drugs, you treat them with physical therapies, is that it?
Physiotherapy, but also there are some treatments like focusing on brain inflammation. Like the major issue is they need neurorehabilitation. You know, that's the problem. The brain's been inflamed, and you know, they really need support in that respect. And that's not what's happening countrywide. So we've started to kind of introduce some treatments that, you know, and also providing them support and ways to kind of deal with, you know, the brain inflammation.
Can I ask you this? It might be getting in too deep, but how do you treat neuroinflammation?
Right. Well, there's a drug, there's a medication called low-dose naltrexone, and this is something we piloted at the Mater. We've used it for a number of years for patients with similar conditions. Patients with chronic Lyme disease have the same kind of symptoms, the same kind of brain inflammation. And we've done a pilot on a year ago with low-dose naltrexone, and it seems to be helping people. And LDN is something that helps with inflammation and has some immune modulating effects that help to repair the immune system. So we're planning, bigger studies of it, but it seems promising that it's helping patients. So that's one of the few treatments actually internationally that's been suggested to help patients with long COVID because nobody really seems to have much of an understanding of this disease. And there's not been many, treatments been made available for these patients.
And I assume as well, Jack, that anything that can help these patients after many months of suffering, they're extremely grateful for it.
Oh, they are. They absolutely are. It's a devastating disease for people to be previously high functioning and then all of a sudden, 2 years later, unable to do much of anything. And then, what's happening is all the tests are normal, and then the response from the medical community is, just get on with it, just get over it. And when they try to just get on with it, they crash and they end up back in bed again. So it's a very, it's a devastating disease for previously well patients.
And previously extremely fit patients, sports people as well. So it's no reflection on your level of fitness, or is it? You can tell me, you can answer that along with the next question, because we're entering into the autumn period again, winter, when people will spend more time indoors. Am I right in saying that the risk of long COVID increases when you get COVID more than once or twice?
Well, we're not really sure. I mean, we're not really sure what predicts, each time you get COVID, you're at risk for long COVID. Some people are probably predisposed to, being at risk for long COVID, but people with, immune problems previously. Women are more likely to get it than men for some reason. There may be some, hormonal reasons for this, but we don't totally understand it. But the reality is, I see some of my staff getting COVID for 3 and 4 times. And maybe you're going to be lucky one time when you get it, but the next time you get it, you're going to end up with long COVID. About, 20-30% of people can have persistent symptoms for 6-12 months after their original COVID infection. Some of them just mildly affected, but some of them, like I said, seriously affected, unable to return to work. So my advice is, I think as we go into the autumn season, we've thrown caution to the wind, we've thrown away masks, we've thrown all COVID mitigation. I think we have to kind of get the message out there that it's not the killer that it was before, but if you get long COVID, it can be incapacitating.
Mm-hmm. Given the responses you're giving me then, and the work that you're doing, an awful lot of people, I'm sure, will be scratching their heads saying, why is this clinic, this long COVID clinic, at risk of closure?
Well, the issue is we were not funded as part of a new plan come out for the interim management of long COVID in Ireland. It was dated September 2021, and the first I saw it was March 2022, and I was quite surprised that the matter wasn't listed as one of the sites. So it was a decision that was made without my knowledge or the knowledge of any of the Mater Hospital. So we have kind of raised the issue with the government, but so far. No luck, and you can't run a clinic on no money and have clinics that are funded but not seeing patients, referring patients in to be seen at a clinic that isn't funding. So we have submitted a business plan to the HSE and the minister to say, we want to continue our clinic, but you can't continue it without funding. So we're hopeful for a positive response that we will be able to continue. And this clinic has to be multidisciplinary. It has to be focused on neuroinflammation. Patients have to have psychological support. And there needs to be partnership with the GPs. And that's what our business plan is about. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping the government sees the vision of that and will support us,
But it seems strange that the authorities that be came up with a long-term plan to deal with COVID, and they never got in contact with the long COVID clinic.
Well, we've also produced much of the data on long COVID in Ireland, and we've tried to share the data with them. They've not included that in the long COVID plan. So yeah, you'll have to ask the authorities, the people that made that plan, you know.
Have you asked them, just out of interest, have you asked them why?
Yes, I have.
What did they say?
I haven't been given an audience with them yet, but I'll continue to try.
Okay. Come here to me. Before I let you go, Professor Jack Lambert, can I ask you about another issue? And you mentioned Lyme disease there. It's quoted in today's Irish Times. An upsurge in Lyme disease. Why is this happening now, do you know?
Well, you know, ticks are everywhere. And with global warming, there's more ticks. There's a longer season. And, you know, people are spending more time outdoors, you know, because of the COVID lockdown and this and that. So worldwide, there's an increase in number of ticks. And I see reports from Ireland and from the UK where, you know, people are going out and coming home with ticks, you know, kind of all over their body. So we're in a different time than we were 5-10 years ago. And I think there's more recognition of Lyme disease than there were before. I think it's very common in Ireland. It's not a rare disease. It's just not well recognized by the medical community. But I think it's important that the message goes out there that, you know, ticks are all over the place. And some of them carry this bacteria called Borrelia, the Lyme bacteria, and other bacteria. And they can make you very sick, especially if the diagnosis is missed. And the symptoms are very similar to long COVID. And the findings on brain scans are very similar as well.
Okay, come here. I'll go bring you back to long COVID before we finish, because we did request a statement from the HSE regarding the funding of the long COVID clinic at the Mater Hospital. The response doesn't reference the Mater clinic, but some of what it does say is that the HSE is implementing and resourcing the establishment of post-acute and long COVID services across the country. The long COVID clinics that are currently operational include St. Vincent's University Hospital, Beaumont Hospital and University Hospital Galway. They say the post-acute COVID clinics that are operational include University Hospital Galway and Connolly Hospital Blanchardstown. Both Tallaght University Hospital and St. James's University are operating combined post-acute and long COVID clinics. The statement says the specialists being recruited for those clinics includes consultants in the area of infectious diseases and various other consultants. And they say this is an interim model of care and therefore the approach to implementation will be agile and flexible. The HSE acknowledges that services may need to be adapted in response to emerging evidence, learnings from the initial phases of implementation and current and projected demand for long COVID services. Do you have a quick response to that?
Yes, I do. The plan that was put together was based on the first wave of COVID, the Delta wave, and I think they're 18 months behind in their plan. There is no need for, you know, post-acute COVID clinics. This is manned by pulmonary specialists. So the majority of the funding given for COVID care is to pulmonary specialists, and that is not a condition that exists in the days of Omicron. So I think they should reconsider the plan right now rather than say they're agile and flexible and will look at new data. The data has been available for the last 18 months.
Okay. And apologies for this, Professor Lambert, but possibly a reflection of the demand you're in. A text from our listener says, please ask Jack Lambert why there aren't any COVID clinics for children in Ireland, from an exhausted mother of a 10-year-old who is not supported, she says.
Yeah, absolutely. The there's lots of gaps in the service, and the response from the HSE is we're doing everything right and we're agile and we'll, when new data comes along, we'll take it into consideration. But there is new data, and they really should step back a little bit and I think reconsider their plan rather than say they're going to go ahead with it and reassess it a year from now. A lot of people are suffering and will continue to suffer over the next year, including children, unless they make some changes now.
Okay, Professor Jack Lambert, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. One more text from Lisa before we finish. Lisa texts to 51551. Lots of healthcare staff still unwell since 2020. No local clinics and people travel to Dublin, which I am happy to do to get good treatment. I've had great help from St. Vincent's Clinic, however, still not well. Thank you for discussing this issue, says Lisa. You can text us, as I say, to 51551.